Hey, welcome back to another episode of Transform and Renewed. If this is your first time checking us out, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button on whatever platform you're on. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. That way you can stay up to date with the latest content that we will release, okay? So you want to do this ASAP. And so let's get into it. And again, if you are returning, welcome back, family. First time, welcome to the channel. We have some great topics. We usually talk about anything from nutrition to fitness, as well as a lifestyle. And every now and then, we do have to incorporate spirituality, which is kind of how Robody was even started, is from a spiritual perspective. So I always like to do that as often as I can. But for the most part, like to focus on a lot of health topics, a lot of topics that you may not hear about. Sometimes you may not be even aware of certain topics or just how you can improve health-wise. And I like to use this opportunity to share with you. Could be some nuggets that you could use. So hopefully if it is, so make sure you again hit that like and subscribe button. So tonight we're going to continue our conversation. Last time we talked about ultra processed foods. And I kind of gave the example of ultra processed foods. So you have pretty much a pathway. So you have where the whole foods, then you have minimally processed foods, then you have processed foods, and then you have ultra processed foods. So when we think about whole foods slash minimally processed, like I said, an example could be a whole apple. Then if we looked at the processed form, this could be apple juice. Then if we went to the ultra processed version, it's like an apple pie. So you have the apples, but they pretty much have gone through cooking, stripping of the fiber, the skin, and they've also had some other ingredients that were added to them in order for the pie to be flavorful. Otherwise, you'll just have some apples and some cinnamon trying to call it a pie. But we kind of looked at briefly some other reasons why you may want to avoid ultra-processed foods. But this time, I felt that it was necessary to go a little deeper in terms of the other factors behind ultra-processed foods, such as the ingredients or the additives when you look on the nutrition label. And actually, one of the things that I do have is a prop here. So I'll show that shortly. And we'll just kind of use this prop as an example. That way you can kind of better see like, okay, these are some of the things I need to be looking out for, or these are some of the things I didn't notice. And I'll talk a little bit about the labeling because a lot of this was things that I've learned a couple of years ago as relates to food and just making some wise choices. So don't want you to feel like you're being judged at all. But again, this is just information. And again, hopefully you can see some areas where you say, you know what, I could do better in this area, or I didn't know that I was consuming this, which is not really good for me. So let's really get into it. And one of the things that I did want to do this time was actually show you some research, because again, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to really see it and know that I'm not making up this information. So one of the things that I wanted to do is excuse me. First, we'll start off by showing the prop and then I'll dive into some research. So here we have a lemon juice. Okay. And so this is lemonade, and I want to put it up to the camera so that way you can see it. Let's see. Yeah. So you can see that shows lemonade with other natural flavors. And then you kind of see some of the, you know, labeling or the marketing on the front where it says deliciously refreshing. So a lot of times a person sees this, they think, oh, I'm getting real lemonade, or this is really good lemonade. But what I want to show you on the back is this is where sometimes a lot of people may not really put a lot of thought or even look into, is this is nutrition label. Okay. And what you can do is you can take a product that could be in your cabinet. You can do the same thing, but I just kind of want you to get a glimpse. And if you're watching this, you can pause this. But basically, I'm just going to describe to you what's on the back of this. And we're going to go from there. So this shows that it contains 10% of fruit juice, which is a problem because let's say if you wanted to get fruit juice or you thought that you was getting lemonade, well, it kind of already tells you that this is only 10%. So kind of wonder, okay, if it's 10%, then what is pretty much this container made up of? And on the back, you can see has about 20 milligrams of sodium. You know, not bad at all, I mean, in terms of the sodium level. But we see under total carbohydrates, it's 27 grams, so that's about 10% of your daily recommended intake. But underneath that, where it has total sugars, it's 25 grams. It could be pretty much, but it also depends if this was coming from the fruit itself versus being an added sugar. But we see below it that it shows 24 grams of added sugar, which is 48%, okay? So I want you to really hear that. So that's 48%. I'll show it to you again. So you can see that it shows 24 grams, 48%, okay, of added sugars. Now, this is just based on an 8-ounce serving, which is equivalent to 8 ounces of water minus the extra sugar. So if you were drinking water without the extra sugar, you're doing yourself a very huge favor. But if you're going to add this much sugar to your beverage, then you're also doing a lot of harm, especially if you are consuming this over time. And we'll get into why a lot of added sugars may not be recommended for long-term use. So we look down here. One of the other positives that it does have is that it has at least 35% of vitamin C, which shows that it does have some vitamins. But what I want to look at is the ingredients. And so we look here that usually it's water mostly. And I'll show this to you again, because one of the things that I do want you to know is we see the ingredients label. And this is something, in case no one ever told you, the way you can read the ingredients label is the first ingredient is usually going to be the ingredient that is used the most. Okay. So it's used from most abundant to least abundant. Okay. So in this case, we have water. So that is used most abundantly. It's pretty much how you make lemonade filler, like filler. And the next thing is high fructose corn syrup. Now that is a flag, because when we think about it, high fructose corn syrup, you know, at least from, you know, some of the research that we've done, is actually a sweetener, and it can be composed of fructose and glucose. The amounts can vary. Sometimes it may be 42% fructose, or it can be 55% fructose. Just depends. And then I think there are some other sugars that are or some other sugar molecules that are added. But basically, high fructose corn syrup is pretty much derived from cornstarch, I believe. And that is, I want to say, further broken down, okay, into a liquid syrup, okay, which we have high fructose corn syrup once you combine it with some of these other sugar molecules, okay? So with this, because this is broken down into smaller molecules, that means that once your body consumes this, the way I like to think of it is if something is broken down and you consume it, that means your body has to work more in order to deal with that. So think about a complex carb, because one of the reasons why I talk about you want to avoid added sugars is because if you already consuming something that has been added, that means your body has to work hard to deal with it versus something like a fruit. You consume that fruit, it takes your body a while to break down the structures of that fruit. Because if I had a strawberry in my hand or an apple in my hand, you just can't just try to pick the sugar out of that apple. I mean, I mean, you could, using, you know, whatever fancy technology you could. I would like to see that myself, just because I like technology. But even if you try to rub the apple or you try to cut it open and you try to rub it, you're still going to have sugar in that apple, whether it's a slice or whether it's half an apple, there's still going to be sugar there. And so once your body, or once you consume that apple, your body is going to break it down, and that's going to be a process. Okay. That process can take 1 hour to 3 hours. Not sure what the total time is, but it's going to take some time. Versus if you had something that was fully broken down, like, again, high fructose corn syrup or sugar, something that is already simple, which means that it has already been broken down to the simplest molecule. So once you consume it, your body is pretty much having to work hard to deal with it. And so sometimes you may have heard the expression, if you consume simple sugar, you start to get a spike in your blood sugar. You probably heard this if kids ever had candy or you ate a lot of sugar and you felt like, hey, I'm hyped for a short term. And then a couple minutes later, could be a short time later, you notice that you just start to feel drowsy. You don't really want to do anything. And that is because that there was a peak where your blood sugar went and then it went down. It's like, okay, we're going up. Oh, there's gravity. Let me come down. Okay. And so this is one thing when it comes to high fructose corn syrup, because, you know, most people consume this a lot, and this is pretty much available in so much stuff. I lose count. Not only beverages, but this is available in cereals. So you go through a whole shelf of cereals, you'll see high fructose corn syrup, better known as HFCS, baked goods, candies, soft drinks, again, even soups. Okay. So this doesn't really have any nutritional value, doesn't have any benefit for your body, to be honest. And not making that up, but the research shows it's pretty much a filler. It pretty much is a flavor enhancer because it's a sweetener. It pretty much sweetens. And so to consume 24 grams of sugar, you could do better than that, is what I'm saying, better for your body. But not only that, but this has high fructose corn syrup and sugar, okay? So it's like, we could have one or the other, but we're just going to combine both of these. So it's kind of like you are putting so much weight on your body. I'm not sure how much 24 grams is, but I'm just trying to think of that could be 24 grams. I don't know. If I had a prop, I would show. But at least that could fill up probably a small beaker, a small 100 milliliter beaker. We could probably fill that up, probably, yeah, about 24 milliliters. And that is interesting, okay? So we'll look at the label. It has concentrated fruit juice, so it has lemon, orange, citric acid, some gums, acacia gum, some natural flavors. One thing when it comes to natural flavors in a lot of ultra-processed foods is we don't know what natural flavors are. And that's not something that I'm making up, but that is actually the truth, because to be honest, and you may think that this is insane, but you could take this cap off of this fruit juice and you could use that as a flavor. Now, could it be artificial? It could be. Naturally, if it was edible and it was extracted, that could also be known as natural flavor. And you may think that it's very odd, but there are a lot of substances used as natural flavors that pass, and even though they may not be regarded as edible, they still pass as natural flavor. So that's something for you to be aware of when you're looking at different products. Natural flavor, what does that really mean? Does that mean like a tire was used in this? And trust me, the spectrum is so wide when it comes to what a lot of food manufacturers will use in the product just in order to earn a prophet. Okay. I'm not saying this just to throw shade, but I'm telling you this from experience. I've seen some of this, a lot of information. And so I wanted to share this with you because I want you to be informed. So one of the things I said we were going to do is dive into some research briefly. And I just kind of wanted to show you this. So we talked about high fructose corn syrup as one of the many additives. I kind of showed you a brief labeling when it comes to the marketing, when it comes to a lot of the ultra processed foods. Sometimes you'll probably see a, whether you're getting cookies or even chips, you just kind of look at the packaging, and the packaging itself is kind of, it may sell you because you may think, oh, I tasted this before, it tasted good, and I liked it. I think I want to buy it again. But you probably never even paid attention again to the ingredients label or even the nutrition facts label, which is showing you, okay, how much sodium are you getting or are you consuming? How much salt are you, how much fat are you consuming, as well as sugar, okay? As well as the quality of the ingredients that we talked about. And so let me share my screen because, again, I like for y'all to see this information, and I want you to know that this is, again, not anything that I make up, but I want to show you the source of where this comes from. So bear with me one second. So let's do that. Let's do that. So that is... All right, so let's share that. All right. So we are going to, so this is one that's on monosodium glutamate, better known as MSG. And the reason why I selected this is because when we think about it, if you were to go to a restaurant, just even in a lot of foods that you may buy off of the shelf that's savory, it has like this nice taste to it, a taste to where it's like, I tried one bite, but I just can't get enough of that. Let me try another bite. And so it's kind of like your mind is like, that tasted so good. I just cannot get enough of that. And a lot of times people may not know is that MSG is used in a lot of foods, especially when it comes to fast foods. And I can tell you that I know that it's used in fast food because I know of a restaurant, which I probably within the last 2-3 months, just because I was curious, I went on their website, looked at their nutrition information, and I saw one thing that I knew that they likely had, because a lot of times when I see, you know, people going to certain places, as well as just from previous experiences, I am aware that there are certain ingredients that companies use or that they have in their foods that they know that people will buy because of that ingredient. And to be honest, it never fails. Okay. And so MSG is one of those. I want to say, I think MSG was also in ramen noodles. Okay. Which is likely why they were popular, is because of the sodium content, but it was also because of MSG. So this study right here, like many of the studies, kind of go in depth into, you know, what the additive is, the nature of it. And it's pretty brief. It's about 6 pages, so it's not that extensive. But this was done between a university in Italy and then another university in the Netherlands. So it was like a collaborative work. But one of the things I wanted to show, well, actually, I'll go back up to showing you kind of like the brief overview of MSG. Is pretty much a widely used food additive, and it pretty much gives the special aroma, okay? in a lot of processed foods. So what have we been talking about? Ultra processed. But anything that's processed can contain MSG in it, okay? And when you think about, again, going to fast food restaurants, even a lot of Asian restaurants, Oriental Japanese restaurants, those can contain MSG as well, okay? And a lot of people may say, well, how do you know? Well, it's because a lot of times when companies may not show, or restaurants may not show the ingredients label on their website, a lot of times they do it because they don't want you to really know exactly how their ingredients are made. And, you know, most of the times, a lot of people don't care, but it is something that you should, especially if you are consuming this often, because it can have some health implications, okay, if you do consume this often. So one of the things about MSG is that looking at this statement here, and I just want to highlight this, and we'll actually see this in a table that I had just skimmed through, but it shows that MSG has been linked with obesity, metabolic disorders, Chinese restaurant syndrome, CRS, neurotoxic effects, detrimental effects on the reproductive organs, okay? The last part, reproductive organs, okay? So if you're consuming a lot of MSG, this can affect your reproductive organs, okay? So that's something to keep in mind. So let's go down here to this table. And this is where it actually shows different sources containing MSG. And again, this is just a snippet of the many ingredients that you will find in foods and the backstory behind why certain ingredients are used in different foods. Okay. So some of these you probably may noticed. You may see like autolyzed yeast or yeast extract. Okay. Whey protein. Okay. So if you have had any protein powders, could contain MSG. Soy protein, yep. Fermented foods. Yeah, stock bouillon. Yep, that's a common one. And you can go to any grocery store where they are selling bouillon or beef bouillon. And on the back, once you look at it, you will likely see MSG, okay? Natural flavors, okay? So kind of like what we showed here, where it shows natural flavors, MSG could be in that food, and they could say MSG, but they could also say natural flavors. That's a way that a lot of companies can get like off the hook without disclosing certain ingredients that they know people may have some red flags about. Carrageenan, different seasonings, maltodextrin, yes. So you've likely seen maltodextrin in different products, whether it may be chips. I know it's in chips, but you may also see it combined with MSG. And that's because they can work on your brain function. They can work because once you, again, consume a food product, you will start to think like, oh, I need to get more of this. Your body is likely telling you, you don't really need any more, or you're not really that hungry, but your brain is like, we need to get more of this. This seems like it's limited in assets, or it's limited. So we got to get the most of this. And your body is like, you're not really that hungry, or why are we really doing this? Let's go on. We got milk powder. We have starch. So you have different ingredients. And again, these are a lot when you think about what is on the grocery shelves and what are people actually buying. So, you know, again, when it comes to MSG, it has been around for years, okay? Want to go down to, sometimes I like to go down to the conclusions, but this is the other figure that I want to show. So this is an example of plain seasoning. And this is MSG. So this is just, I want to say, straight MSG Chinese salt. But these are just some of the effects. You know, it can pretty much increase your insulin, cause impaired glucose tolerance, And that is also can lead to obesity. Okay. So I see you have back of neck burn, flushing, dizziness, blistering in both arms. And this can lead to the Chinese restaurant syndrome, which can lead to the neurotoxin, and which can further lead to Alzheimer's disease. So that's not something anyone ever wants to deal with. But again, this is like the this is pretty much how the chain effect starts, especially if you continue to consume this over time. You can have brain tumors, schizophrenia, dementia, anxiety, Tourette syndrome, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and epilepsy, Huntington disease. Then you have disruption of stroma cells and basement membrane, okay? Yeah, protein modification. And why protein modification is important is because whenever your protein is altered or you have any abnormal changes in your body, this could lead to the onset of cancer. And so this is, again, where you can have reproductive abnormalities, okay? Especially when it comes to your reproductive organs. So again, this article kind of goes into it. You know, just some of the effects that MSG can have. And, you know, this is, I want to say if I can, I was trying to see if I could show the link. But yeah, this is actually, I go back to the top, but this is basically called the extensive use of monosodium glutamate. Okay. So if you ever wanted to really go through this article, because like I said, it probably take me another 20 minutes just to go through it, but don't want to keep you longer than that, but I at least wanted to show you, you know, some of the effects that MSG can have. Again, it can lead to obesity. It can just lead to a cascade of health issues that you don't want. And again, when it comes to high fructose corn syrup, MSG, these are just some of the two popular additives, but the list is extensive. Matter of fact, there are other countries, I know, like the EU, which have banned a lot of additives from their foods, but the US continues to use or incorporate certain additives in the foods. So the first two that I mentioned, high fructose corn syrup and MSG, a lot of those are actually banned in other countries. Now, some countries, they may still use them, but a lot of other countries use these additives. So again, when it comes to a lot of ultra processed foods, a lot of times, and there is actually another chart I wanted to show, but there's actually a chart that shows how, you know, a lot of Americans, when it comes to ultra processed food, can consume at least about 10%. Ultra processed foods account for about 10% of their daily caloric intake. Now that is astonishing. Okay. When you think about it, 10%. Okay. It could be more in different Americans, but at least 10% of the caloric intake, could be more, is accountable from ultra processed foods. And again, a lot of ultra processed foods can lead to the onset of cardiovascular disease, a lot of metabolic disorders, obesity, and the list goes on and on. So what I'm sharing with you is just like, hey, you want to be mindful of getting those whole foods, like really limiting, you know, what is not going to help your body, okay? Anything that is usually chemically added or is pretty much an additive, your body doesn't need it. Most of the time, if it says like food preservative or is trying to act as a flavor enhancer, that doesn't mean that it's going to do your body any favors, because it's only doing that one purpose, which is preserving that food. But if you put it into your body, it can also try to destabilize your active cells. So like your red blood cells or your white blood cells, it can try to interfere with those because it is trying to preserve, which means that it's trying to keep things fresh, okay? So usually if something is going to be fresh, like bread, milk, etc., it likely will spoil, even fruit, okay? Real fruit is going to spoil usually after about a week, especially if it has a lot of water added to it, such as like strawberries. If you were to leave a strawberry in the refrigerator or leave it out on a counter, after about a week, if it doesn't get eaten, it's likely going to start molding. It could be sooner, but you probably want to question if that strawberry does not start to physically transform after about 2 weeks, something is wrong, or usually it may have had some chemicals added to it. So what I'm sharing with you is like, hey, let's be more mindful about that, because whatever you put into your body, especially if you do that over time, that can affect your overall health, okay? And if you want to be at your best health, it starts by really understanding what you're putting into your body first. So hope that you enjoyed this information. If you did, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button on your screen. Make sure you do that right now, because that way you will stay up to date with the latest and best content that we will share with you. And trust me, if you enjoy this segment, we got plenty more, so you are not missing anything. Usually, again, I like to share the research with you, so that way you can see that I am not making it up. This is not something that I'm just telling you just because I want to yell it to you, but I want to share this with you because it's educational, things that we need to know. And hey, at least at the end of the day, whatever you choose, you have the information to work with. So again, hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure you like it, subscribe to our channel, and feel free to share this. Oh, and don't forget, make sure you comment, because I like feedback. So whatever you thought about the episode, as long as it's, nothing too outlandish, okay? But if it's a good comment, please put it down. I appreciate that. And until next time, I will talk with you later.